come across some difficult subjects. And in the last year, this subject has been quite the little hot button thing to consider. We are in Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11 gives us the account of the Tower of Babel. Now, the Tower of Babel is another thing that historically crops up among many different cultures and in many different renditions of their history. And it always astounds me how easily things like this are dismissed until you see them in other areas. And quickly the world would dismiss them away as, well, they just heard the story and they picked it up. That's not really how cultures worked. And we'll see right here in this passage why it doesn't work that way. Chapter 11, verse 1 says, "And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech." Doesn't that sound good? Isn't that nice? No pressing one for this, no pressing two for that. Everybody having the same language. "And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, 'Go, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly.' And they had brick for stone, and slime they had they for mortar. And they said, 'Go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth.' And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, 'Behold, the people is one. They have all one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do.'" Now, as we're sitting here looking at this, we have to understand why this is a problem. Just a few verses or a few chapters back, we're looking at God having to hit the reset button on all of mankind. Why? Because our hearts have a tendency for evil. And if we get the ability to start to work together, we can come up with even worse and worse manners, ways of performing that evil. Today, we are kind of back to this pre-Babel time period where through technology, we have the ability to break down barriers and work in a way we never have before. Especially now, with all of the lockdown Zoom meetings, we've gotten more and more proficient of breaking barriers down and having communication. Well, if my desire as a doctor is to cure cancer, that is a great thing. If I am the CEO of a company and I'm releasing a brand new initiative that we're doing in the company, that's an amazing thing. But if I am a sinner looking to have more sin out there, that's bad news for us. And for the most part, every time there's a technological breakthrough, it is the more lasciviousness of businesses that take advantage of it. It's the more lustful things that get out there first. Right? The invention of the television, it was not long before they perverted that. The invention of the internet, it wasn't long before we filled that with garbage. There's not a thing that we build that does not become perverted in one way or another. And that is a very sad thing, a very sad account for us, but it's true in a world full of sinners. When you put us together, you give us any manner of power or ability, we're going to corrupt it. And again, that doesn't mean that we should be afraid of certain things, but we should be more careful with how we use them. Very much the same as, let's say a tool. I've got a good amount of tools. I would assume you have a good amount of tools. If you use them properly, they'll last for years. They're good to have. If you use them improperly, they'll hurt you, right? Same thing with most of what we see there. You know, when they developed the hammer, they didn't mean it to hit people. However, people do. Bad things happen. So when the Lord's looking down and he sees not only these people with evil in their hearts, but he also sees people who are able to push together, work together, that concerns him, right? That concerns him because we do dangerous things when we have that kind of power. Unity in mankind has always been difficult to achieve. There were four whole people on the planet at one time, and contention killed one of them. Right, we are not a very peaceful race as a creation. We are destructive. We can be hateful to our Creator. We are not the best. Nowhere is contention more evident than in the difference in race and language. People all over the world are willing to go to war based on something as little as skin tone. India itself, everyone looks the same, everyone eats the same, pretty much everybody believes the same, but they have strong, contentious lines based on the dialect of their language. Differences have never been good for us. The world around us reveals, however, that any one of us have the potential to be bad. Now, when I say this, I want to be very clear. There are certain cultures that are drastically toxic to society, right? The rap, drug, pants down around my ankles, abandoning my family kind of lifestyle culture is dangerous. It has done horrible things in our society and will continue to degrade it at its foundation, right? The devil loves that stuff. Absolutely loves rap music. Absolutely loves people who sedate themselves out of their mind with whatever they can get their hands on off of the corner drug dealer. The devil loves that. Why? Because that's just a whole herd of people who are willing to do whatever feels good, feels right, and they're destroying themselves. They'll go home if they've got one, and they'll neglect their children. They'll have children on without any thought or concern over who's going to take care of them, who's going to pay for them, who's going to raise them. They don't think about those things. All they think about is the moment. This drug that I've had, this promiscuous relationship that I want to have, and then boom, they're gone. It is a very dangerous culture. However, any color can match that culture. I've seen it, right? I asked you to pray for somebody today who's very much in that culture, one of the whitest people you'll ever meet. I also had a great hero of the faith pass away in the last year. He's done more for the black community in his area than I have ever seen anybody do. He preached better sermons. He did better service. He did amazing things. We cannot believe that differences make us superior to others. Now, I understand. Now, follow me on this. My family comes from Kentucky. Now, when I say Kentucky, I mean three hollers over from Loretta Lynn's. All right? My dog was one of her dog's puppies growing up. You understand? I've got relatives that do not speak English because of their southern draw has gone so deep, it's unrecognizable. You buy them one of those Amazon or Alexa devices, they're completely safe from ever being recorded because all you ever hear is, wah, 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 that's it. I understand what it's like to be raised in a family that views people a certain way. I understand that. However, we also must realize this, that the ground at the cross is a level one. We all come before the Lord as equal. And this right here is what happened. This is why we are so different. Moving on with our reading. It says, Go let us down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. Now, why did the Lord do this? I've thought about this for a long time, and this is what I've come up with, so please indulge me on it. The reason why they built the tower was why? Pride. Human beings can be prideful, can't they? Oh, we can. You drive down the road, you see people have their names splashed across the back of their vehicles. They've got customizable vanity plates. And just they want you to know who they are, what they are, how tough they are. They want you to know what kind of gun they carry. They want you to know how much money they've got to spend on enormous lights. And they don't bother using their blinkers, but that's beside the point. It's that they want you to know everything about them. Hey, come look at my house. Come look at my bank account. Come look at everything that I've got. I'm so special. I'm so amazing. I'm so wonderful. That's the condition of mankind. Look at me. I've got this. I've got that. Had a conversation with Xander yesterday. He was working on his schoolwork, and he's doing his spelling words. And he said, "Oh, I didn't get an A+ this time." Did that just bother you? For those of you that had a hard time spelling, didn't I give you a, I just bought it. I ain't getting A+ this time. You know what, kid? Now, what I told him was this. I said, listen, the goal is not the A+, right? The goal is not $2 million in my bank account. The goal is not the finest and flashiest car on the street. Here's the goal. To develop a proper method and proper execution of the method to get things done in a way that pleases and honors God. Now, here's what happens. If I do everything as a good steward to the Lord, this is going to take care of itself. I'll have the money for the operation. I'll have the money for the groceries. I'll have the car that'll get me where I need to go. God will take care of this if I focus here. Right? So here was my advice to him. Son, if you know you're going to have a hard time with a word, spell it out a dozen times. And then before you go to take the test, spell it out a dozen times again. Right? Method, practice, behavior building. And then guess what's going to happen? Do you have to worry about the A plus later? No, you do not. Why? Because if you prepare properly, you practice properly, the right outcome will happen. Right? But so many people, they're stuck on this. They're stuck so amazed on what they have and what they can do. A lot of kids out there, they're putting all of their money, their college tuition, all of their money on fake currency, on what they call cryptocurrency. If I were to sit there, it's Bitcoin, right? I had this whole rant on Bitcoin. What is it? Can I hold it? Can I give it to you? If I dropped a Bitcoin and you picked it up, could you hand it back to me? Where does it come from? Well, they mine it from the computer. I took a whole computer apart. There were no Bitcoins in my computer. There weren't. And then you need money to replace your computer, right? I have no idea. Basically what they're doing is they're just making stuff up and they're all agreeing that it's worth money. Can I see it? Is it a certificate? No, it's just there. So you agree that these ones and zeros mean money. Yeah. And you trade it back and forth. Yeah. And you're getting rich off of it. Yeah. Okay. That's betting on a horse race and there's no horses in the stable. I just don't understand. But they get so, oh, look at my car, look at my this, look at my that. There's going to come a time for those young people who are making all this money on pretend stuff, and they're going to see what happened back in the 80s. They're going to see what happened back when the stock market crashed. They're going to see what happened back when everything's gone, and all of a sudden you don't have anything else to stand on or to make money with. I think the same for people. Their job is to be on social media. That's their job, to get likes and clicks and the advertising. Will give them money. You know what's eventually going to happen to those people who are so caught up in their pride and how beautiful they look? Looks fade. Looks fade. You know what? The people who like to look at you when you're 18, 19, 20 are not the same people who are going to see you when you're 40, 50, and 60. Not a great retirement plan, that social media money. It's not. But in their pride, look at everything. And that's what the tower was. We're going to reach up to heaven. Now there's some debate that I've heard as to whether or not that heaven there just refers to the sky, or if they're actually trying to knock on God's door. When we look at God's reaction though, we see that it doesn't matter. He wasn't happy with his behavior. Why? Because what they were doing is building a testament and a monument to themselves. And mankind, if we've never learned anything, we've never learned that God doesn't like it when we worship ourselves. Yet we're stuck on it. We can't get away from it. Even a saved child of God can fall into worshiping themselves. Pride, pride, pride. Thankfully, God is not a respecter of persons, and he does not hold favorites. As Christ made it clear to Mrs. Zebedee when she asked that he put her two sons on either side of him in glory, the greatest among you are what he told her is the greatest among you are the servants. The greatest way to be above everything is to be the lowest of the low. The person who's willing to sit there and, as Jesus Christ did, wash the feet of those he served. He was the Son of God. He had no problem lowering himself to manhood. He had no problem lowering himself to the ground to wash feet. He had no problem whatsoever letting himself be led and hung upon a cross. That didn't bother him at all. Why? Because in order to be of any importance, you gotta go low. You gotta be low. Be a servant. You know, be somebody who says, you know what, this isn't comfortable, this isn't very nice, this hurts my body, this hurts my brain, and believe me, I've been there in both times, I don't like this. I told you my story about song leading. My pastor hit me completely out of the blue, and I looked at him, I go, you are an accomplished musician. How do you not know that I am tone deaf? I'm loud, I'm not a quiet person, I'm loud, you know I can't do this. It's uncomfortable. You know what it did? It hurt my arms. It hurt my head. It embarrassed me. I was so scared. But I tell you what, when I kept at it, and I got mediocre. And if you knew where I started, you'd be impressed. I joke about that, but it, It's the truth. When you put your heart into doing it, it doesn't matter the physical pain. It doesn't matter the time that it costs you. It's rewarding in that the Lord does something with you. Right? Oh, I'm uncomfortable. Oh, I hurt. You know what? That's part of it. What would you do on the first day of work if you're training a brand new person? They're like, oh, I can't do it. I'm starting to sweat. How embarrassing would that be? Now, that's a young person's move if ever I've heard one. I hear that all the time. Well, you know what? That's a lot of work. Yeah, I'm going to pay you a lot of money. Go. That's just how it was. I had zero empathy for people. I just, you know, unless there was a real reason for it, you know, I would buy water for the guys. I'd buy ice cream for the guys if it was a hot day. You know, if we were working, we were doing snow, I'd buy them lunch. I'd take care of people who worked hard. But people who just show up and be like, well, I was really hoping to sleep in today, no mercy. No mercy whatsoever. We ought to put ourselves out there. The opposite of pride is giving in to others. Now, when I say giving in, I don't mean being passive all the time. What I'm referring to is, listen, I'm going to invest in others. I'm going to love on others. The opposite of pride is care. And that's what we got to practice, and that's what we got to put into effort, right? In their attempt, they wanted to make things on their own terms. If you look at what they said, and they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name. Let's do something that reflects our might. Let's do things on our terms. And again, a very strong pull, a very strong desire for lost folks, and even those of us who are saved, is to do things on our own terms. Right? If I'm going in, I'm going to go in like this. If this is what's going to happen and they don't want to do it my way, this will be my attitude. No. We go in, we have hearts that are open, that are willing to give into the situation. Here's my wisdom. Here's my hands. Here's what I know. Right? That's what we do when we come together. We work together. We get mutual, but we put God first in everything we do. What these folks did, they didn't care about God other than the fact that they wanted to go knock on his door. Let's build us something amazing so that we can control whether we get scattered abroad. We can stay close. We can accomplish things that reflect who we want to be. And they did all these things in spite of God. All right, and in spite of what he would say, in spite of what they would do, they didn't care. It was their name they wanted. Listen, if my name is remembered at all past my life, I want Jesus Christ's name to be tied to it. You know, so many times you hear great epitaphs of amazing men and women of God. Oh, they served this long. They did that. They did this. Everything we say that's said about us ought to reflect our love for Jesus Christ. That's the only real memory that we should want anybody to have. You know what? I've got books on that shelf in there, and there are names on there. I don't know anything about them. As I learn stuff about them, though, that I don't like, I take it down and get rid of them. But I'll tell you this, you know, my name will probably never be on somebody's bookshelf. They'll probably never make a monument to any one of us here in this room. But that doesn't matter. Because it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. If after my life they're still talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, I am satisfied. They wanted to be as gods. I already have one. We serve a great one. We do not need to be gods in and of ourselves. So why did God do that then? He's looking at them. He sees this monument of pride being made. Why split the languages? Because pride. Why did they build it? Because they wanted to be better than the only person who was different. And that was God. Do you see the genius in this? If I confound their languages, now they're all different. Now they don't work together anymore. Right? Now they're distracted from worshiping themselves, and they're scattering. Now I've heard people look at this and they say, well, brother, couldn't he just come down and explain things to them? That's not how the Lord works. You have to remember, these people were anti-God. Listen, I firmly believe this. If the Lord Jesus Christ were to come down, put his foot in the middle of Congress and explain things to them, they'd crucify him again. We're not the way we are because God's not being clear enough to us. We are the way we are because we are. We're sinners. He could sit there, he could control every radio, your phone could light up with his face. He could explain it to everybody in the world in just one sentence, but we wouldn't listen to him. I would hope we would, but this world would not. why they have such a broiling hatred for being wrong. So in this division of people, right, it allowed the memory or the story of the things that God had done to scatter and for folks to slow down a little bit on this crazy procession they were doing to get back to the pre-flood era. Because that's where they were headed. They're headed back to the same kind of mentality that flooded the earth. So split them up. Let's just kind of extend the timeline. Now, again, as I mentioned last week, this isn't God having to handle a situation that just came up. This is an expert gardener grooming and training the plant called earth into what it's supposed to be. This is a skilled master seeing a problem crop up and doing what he had planned to do once that happened. Right? For those of you that grow tomatoes, they vine out, right? You've got little trellises and things that you train them around. That's the Lord. He had this plan prepared. Here it is happening. This is what we're going to do. Now, the problem with us is we've got a fear of differences. It was very difficult for me to turn in my notice, and it was very difficult for me to have my last day at a place that I've worked at for 8 years. Now, for those of you that have worked where you've worked for 30-plus, that may not seem as much, but if you look at compared to my lifespan, that's a pretty big time. It was different. It was hard because it was different. We come across different all the time. Some of us adjust well to it. Some of us don't. In this particular case, you're looking at somebody. You're sitting there and you've got your friend and you're building with bricks this tower. And everybody's building, right? And all of a sudden, your friend Clark over here, he starts talking weird. And you don't recognize that. Now, if I'm sitting here with somebody I'm having a conversation with, and all of a sudden I don't understand them, I just naturally assume that they're having a stroke. I never assume I am. I just naturally assume they are, right? Something wrong with him. Right? Why? Because that pride kicks in. When I see something different to me, I've either got to decide if I'm going to contend with it or if I'm going to accept it. If I accept it, I must see it as my equal. We're not good at that. We're not. Oftentimes you'll see that in churches. One personal sin, everybody will get around. Can you believe they went over to the bar and they did this and they did that? And she was out until past this hour and da-da-da. We start to talking like that. What is that? Is that real care or concern? No. We did this for somebody. They're just kind of banging their life up. I got together with some of my friends and they're like, hey, listen, this is happening and this is happening and this is happening. I go, all right, let's get together. Let's get him there. Let's sit him down. Let's have a conversation as brothers, as friends. And that's what we did. Was that gossip? No, that was with the heart to do something. That's not me trying to be better than them. That is us trying to help them before they completely made a catastrophic mess. And that's what happens when you love the Lord more than you love yourself, is you have a desire to help others as opposed to, well, you know what? They're talking that way and they smell that way, so they're down here, I'm up there. It's not the way that works. Again, the judgment of a man is based on what they do and what happens here and what happens here. Right? They started these people looked at their friends and they're like, hey, these guys are talking wrong. They make no sense whatsoever. And again, we see what naturally happens. You know what would happen if I took 100 people and I put them in a room? Like-minded individuals would start to get together. People who think and talk and act a certain way, they'd clump together. Why? Because we just naturally do that. Why? Because, well, I see something in you that I like. I see something in them that I don't like. I don't understand them. So I'm going to stay over here. That's how cliques and circles and groups and all that takes place. Why? Because pride desires superiority. If they are different, they are wrong. And how simple a thought that is. Just because they are not like me, they are clearly wrong. There are a few things we must concrete here. Number one, if you are different from what God asks of you, that makes you wrong. If I look at this scripture and I say, okay, you see what you did there? You've got five different children with five different women. That's wrong. Okay, you see this here? You're out drinking until 3 a.m. You're coming back and you're just useless to your family. See that? That's wrong. You're not praying. That's wrong. You're not reading your Bible. You understand here? If I am different from God, that's the wrong. if someone just looks or seems different from me, that's different. Now, again, I hold the difference here. Culture is key. There was somebody that I worked with one time. They came in, they were a Muslim, and they talked about how he and his father-in-law had gotten into an argument because when his wife disobeyed, the father-in-law thought he beat her a little too hard. I have a problem with that. As a cultural thing, I don't care about the color of his skin. That's some poor behavior, sir. That's why I told him, I said, man, if we weren't clocked in right now, I'd clock you out. Well, and he went on to try to explain the cultural differences. I don't have to accept what you do. I don't. As a matter of fact, my God tells me to reject it, and I will. I give the kid the gospel. That's what he needs. Culture can make the difference. Skin tone should not. Language should not. Can I make that clarification to make sense? If you're sitting there beating your wife and praying to Allah, I learned this. I have read the Quran. One of the things that I picked up there is it's perfectly acceptable to divorce your wife in this way. You take her to the high part in the city. You say, "I divorce thee, I divorce thee, I divorce thee," and you hurl her off. I know people who can't even get visitation rights to their kids. You know, that seemed horrible enough. But then, if she dies, she dies with a little bit of honor. But if she lives, she's disgraced for the rest of her life. And you just kind of look at that and you say, that's fundamentally wrong to what God says. I met another person from the same area of the world. Grew up with parents who were deep into Egypt. They lived their whole lives in Egypt. Islam was a very big thing taught there. Father was a minister. I believe he was a Methodist minister. And we talked back and forth about salvation, but completely different mindset. Do I judge her based on her color? No. I just think she's wrong because she's a Methodist. But all joking aside, you understand what I mean. Culture can ruin things. There's a deep-seated, sinful culture in this country that I hate. And I don't care if they're red, yellow, black, and white. If they purport that sinful drug, lustful lifestyle, and they're teaching it to kids, I hate that. I don't care what color they are, though. I don't. I really don't. Why? Because pride cares. Pride demands to be on top. Right? So what did I say? Point number one, if you're different from what God asks of you, you're wrong. If you are wrong, you can get right. Aren't you glad the Lord made you right when you were wrong? I can distinctly remember a time in my life going to bed wrong, getting back out of bed right. What an amazing night that was. And I can think of countless times in between, not about salvation, where I went down, I had an attitude, I had a sin problem. I got down on my knees. When I got back up, my heart was right. That's what God does for us. That's a possibility for us. I have so many people that get the idea, well, there's something wrong with me, I'll never be able to change. With Jesus Christ, there's not a sin you can pick up, you cannot put back down. Doesn't matter what it is, doesn't matter how long you've been doing it. The last part I would say is right or wrong is never based off you, especially on things you cannot change. I hear that, I used to hear that all the time. You know what? Our pastor says this, but brother so-and-so over here at this church down at the bottom of Tennessee that you've never heard before, he says that. Okay, but what does the Bible say? Isn't that what Paul said? Yeah, some of you are Paul, some of you are Apollos. And at one particular time, I'm glad I didn't baptize any of you people. Why? Because you can't worship people. Right or wrong doesn't depend on you. It depends on Scripture. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm going to live or die in this ministry based on how I listen to the wisdom of men who have gone before me. But I'm going to listen to the words as they match up with Scripture. If I got advice from a preacher who told me to stop using the King James Bible, I would ignore it. And I hope you would accept it. You'd be like, yeah, brother, if you did anything else, we're going to run you out of here, right? We'll toss you all the way out there. You don't have to worry about getting stuck. We'll push you. We would hope that, right? So then we would also see this, the lasting effects of Babel. What happened after Babel scattered everybody? Well, number one, we've got this cool thing called races and different cultures now. The very first thing that happened is all the languages changed. So people, they kind of flooded out to different areas. Now, the great thing about God's creation is he made it amendable. And there are two things that amended us. One is a little gross, and that would be, of course, inbreeding within the family. It created different kind of perspective on our faces. It had different color transitions. It did stuff to us. Not all of it flattering, but it did stuff to us. We won't be able to see what the first real human looks like until we get to heaven. Maybe the Lord will show us. But we see now we have races. And did you know that there's not much of a difference between them? If they were to take a blood from me, and they were to take a blood from somebody who was black, and they take some blood from somebody who was European or whatever, we take blood from all the different colors, right? All different kinds of people. We get their blood. You know, there'd be almost no perceptible way to tell them apart genetically except for one. It is how we process melanin and how it comes out through our skin. And there are different types of melanin, but that's pretty much the jam of it. That's it. There's no genetic difference other than familial. Our nose size, our eye size, our lip size, our ear size, what color or shape our eyes take. All of that is down to family, but this is all based on God's desire to have us survive in different cultures we're in. Now you think about it, where do all the white people come from? Cold areas. Not a lot of sun. We're further away. Where do all the people of darker skin go? They go right towards the equator. Why? Because it gets the most sun. Now, either at one point or another, they began to just naturally adapt this, or God released it into their skin. They got to be different colors to protect them from the sun. That particular kind of skin style, that particular kind of melanin, protects against skin cancer. We did not need that. Now, again, some people would say, well, that's evolution. How on earth are we going to know that? How on earth can my skin know? You know what? It's a lot brighter than it is where all the other people that look like me are. I better start getting darker. That doesn't happen. God had to do that. I'm going to give you these characteristics, and through God's transition, and yeah, through a little bit of inbreeding, this is what I'm going to have them look like. This is how I'm going to protect them. So again, does one have a natural superiority to the other? Absolutely not. We're all different for the purpose that God wanted us to be in different areas. That is it. Melanin production is really the only difference between our color. Again, it is the culture that separates us. It's the culture. We would sit there and we would say, hey, listen, this is your mindset. This is how you have refused God. This is how you've stood against him. That's different than me sitting there seeing somebody of another color who is saved and me going, aha, I'm better than you. That's not how this works. Right? We think about, some people have said this to me. Let me dial back because I wanted to quote this directly. Okay. He said, well, brother, they might have not, so when they talk about, in the Bible it says, go ye and preach the gospel to every creature. And they'll say, well, brother, there's not a lot of mention of skin tones unless somebody has something wild going on about them, right? You don't really see that a lot in Scripture. And the reason why, and somebody said, well, the reason why is because they didn't have a lot of exposure from people of other cultures. In the entirety of biblical history, it all kind of happened in one area, right? With Africa down here, Asia over here, all those Mongol breeds over here. And these really pale people up over here. And also, when half of the Bible was written, they were under occupancy of some people who looked like this. Right? Not quite pale, but also not... I mean, it's winter, so I'm lighter. But different. They saw it. Rome was in charge. It was a cultural mecca. They saw everybody. Why didn't they talk about it? Because it really doesn't matter. When did it really start to matter? When, obviously, there's always been prejudices, there's always been hatred since the Tower of Babel, but when did it hold so prevalent here in America? There's a couple different things to consider. Number one, the old desires of superiority that we have always had. That old humanism that says, I'm better than you, and we'll find any way to prove that I'm better than you. Oh, what's that? Well, you've got that color hair. Well, I've got this color hair. I was joking with Brother Gunnels. Oh, please don't get mad at this. Somebody told me one time that baldness comes from a masculine gene. So for all of us with a thick head of hair, all of us wimps with a full head of hair. No, we think about, well, you've got this and you've got that. And always picking, always looking to see who's better, who looks better, can run the fastest. None of those things matter. All it is chest puffing, right? Oh, look how great I am. Look how strong I am. The next one is Charles Darwin himself. Charles Darwin purported that the black skin tone was what was left over from unevolved apes. Now, isn't that very progressive to teach in a modern liberal college? That's where they came from. Later on, you'd see eugenics grab a hold of that idea. Eugenics being the idea that we can make a better race of people by eliminating certain others. That's really the main pull of abortion. Why are there more abortion clinics in black neighborhoods? Why are there more abortion clinics in Mexican neighborhoods? Why is it that you can't go to a place like Canton or any of the other Beverly Hills, all these little fancy places down in Michigan? Why don't you see a lot of them there? Is it because the buildings aren't pretty? No, it's because there's a particular desire that they have there. They're, for as liberal as liberals pretend to be, they're quite the racist lot. Even with the whole idea, and you know what, I think everybody deserves to be treated differently, but if you look at the whole Black Lives Matter movement, and I'm talking about the official movement itself, not whether or not everybody has the same value in God's eyes, but the movement itself, you know what it did? It shows up every 4 years when there's an election, goes away. Raises billions of dollars. Gives it to rich white men. Joe Biden, you know how much of that money went to Joe Biden? A lot for his campaign. Did it go to inner city schools to improve their technology? It did not. Did it go to suffering neighborhoods to rebuild the infrastructure or businesses so that those people had half a chance? No, it didn't. What did it go to? The media, Joe Biden, and to somebody's war chest that can slowly funnel it away in one of those, those little funds you just kind of gamble away, right? Little investments, right? So those really rich people just pocket it. That's where that money goes. I would love to see a financial report from these people that said, hey, listen, we bought brand new books for X number of schools. Hey, we went over to Flint and we rebuilt the water system. I would love to see that. You don't see that, though. You don't. They never come out and say, hey, this is what we're doing with the money. All they say is, oh, are you white and middle class? You're racist. Oh, what's that? You voted for Donald Trump? You're racist. Donald Trump, who had probably one of the most diverse offices that we have ever seen. Donald Trump, who has had more people who worked, more people of different races and genealogies working for him in his business long before he made the transition than most of the people sitting in office today. Right? It's just, we get a different view of it. Racism is something that's used against us a lot of times. In all honesty, it's Darwinism. If you're a different color or you're stupid, we can dominate you. Right? And that's the goal. Right? We'll eliminate you with the abortion clinics. We'll outclass you and outmoney you so we can gain and keep the power. And we'll turn the media machine on to keep you dumb to what's happening. That's their desire. That's Darwinism right there. Survival of the fittest. And right now they're making a lot of us lower on the peg just because they want that superiority. The next we would look at, and this is a smaller, more minor thing, is war propaganda. Right? It is very hard for us to go to war with a country or a nation if people find them friendly and warm and wonderful. Right? You see a lot of that in World War II. A lot of the stuff that happened with when they would talk about Asian people and a lot of things that changed in our society after that. And I would say this in closing, one of the main reasons why you still have white versus black racism in this country is two things. Number one, it's good marketing for when they were selling people, right? If I'm selling you a person, that's going to tug your heart a little bit. But if I'm tugging you this uneducated, half-evolved ape man, that's a different thing. Please forgive me for that. That's not really, there you go. Now I'm not going to be president now. But that's not my opinion, but that's how they would sell it. These aren't people. These are like children. Right? So, I'm doing them a favor. Okay, all right, that's great, wonderful. And then the other thing that would happen is it's weaponized by a lot of things like rap music, media today, where they're trying to take people who are black, who are Mexican, make them feel disadvantaged so they can upset the modern society. Oh, nobody ever came by with a truckload of money? Nobody ever came by with all this wonderful opportunity? When the dog training thing wasn't working out so well, you know what I had to do to feed my family? There wasn't as many as there was now as there was then. You know what I did? I scrubbed floors at McDonald's. I learned how to work on the machines. That's what I did. I burned my hands, scraped skin off, did whatever I had to do to feed my family. Do you think anybody ever sat there and said, oh, no, you're white, come here. Nobody ever did that for me. When I was sitting there and I just got off of work and I'm trying to take a shower, but the maintenance guy shows up to the apartment and he's fixing a sink. Do you think he said, "Hey, Matt, do you have a white card? I'm hiring." No, I said, "Hey, listen, man, I'd do it myself. I just got off of work. I'm going to hang out over here." "Well, where do you work?" "Well, I work at McDonald's." "Well, what do you do?" "I'm a maintenance guy there." "Well, I'm looking for a maintenance guy." Led me to the next job. Led me to being an assistant maintenance supervisor. Led me to being a maintenance supervisor. Led me to being a leasing agent, then a leasing manager, then a property manager. Nobody ever sat there and said, "Are you white? Good, come on." I had to bust my knuckles. I'd come home, I'd be so tired, I couldn't even eat what my wife cooked. I just sat there. I go out there 2014 when all that snow dumped down on us. I was at a site that had, 500 plus homes. 200 of them were townhomes. And I was in charge of dusting off everybody's sidewalks and their porches. It was a lot of sidewalks. It was a lot of porches. Do you think anybody said, "Hey, Matt, listen, there's not a snowblower. All you have are some broken shovels. But if you give me your white card, we'll fix this for you." Nobody ever did that for me. Right? I'm not prideful. God laid things in my way for me to trip over into a better life. That's how I see it. All I had to do is stay steadfast and do it. And that's the truth for anybody. You be a good steward for the Lord. He's going to bless you. So it doesn't matter what you're doing. You put the effort in. God doesn't care what color you are. He's not going to give white people a better time than he is black people. He's not going to give Mexican people more money and more riches than he is anybody else. The bottom line is this. Racism is one of those tools that they use to tie up our minds in propaganda so they can make us feel stupid or look stupid. So when they sit there and say, "Hey, this candidate is the cure for racism," now I'm the bad guy if I vote for the other guy. I talked to somebody, they made that argument to me. They're like, "Hey, listen, if it would fix racism, I'm voting for Joe Biden." I said, "But I thought you were a Christian." Right now, I know Donald Trump has probably paid for a few abortions, but this guy wants to support it on a global basis. Like, this guy's really excited about him. How can you justify the killing of children? Amen. So you can vote for this? Amen. I go, "Do you think Joe Biden cares about..." He's probably one of the most racist people out there. Look at some of the stuff he would say. There is stuff on congressional record that they had to keep records of that just came out of Uncle Joe's mouth. He didn't care. They just... Bleh. The Clintons, there's probably nobody more racist than a Clinton. But yet at the same time, they tote them as the heroes. And what does society do? "Oh, hey, let's go vote for them. Let's go get, that sounds amazing." And then before you know it, there's more abortion clinics in the areas. Not all the white areas, but in all the areas. And now we're taking more money away from the schools. "Oh, no, we put more money to the schools." No, look at when they vote to give money to the local schools, look at where that money goes. It is not to where we can buy books with it. It is to people who manage it. And that money stops right there. Right? We cannot let racism control our lives. Two, we cannot let the idea of racism weaponize us. You know how we do that? No. My God says that my blood is the same as your blood. That's all I care about. Here's the gospel. Now, my God says that there are only two different types of people. There are Jews and there are Gentiles. The chosen race, and then there's those of us that benefited, right? By God's grace. That's it. A lot of flavors in the Gentile race. That's it. So here's the gospel. Here's my love. Here's my acceptance. Now, to me, again, I cut the corner at cultures. There are different cultures. I just, absolutely not. If you're beating your wife and praising Allah and sacrificing your children and you're into the drug and rap culture, no. But here's the gospel. Here's all the love that God would have me to give to you. Here. Yeah? Because I'm no better. You know what? We look at that thief on the cross as the Lord died next to him. You know, I don't know what color that thief was. I don't know all what that person did. I know that they were being killed. Why? Because of their crimes. Even though they were a criminal, Jesus Christ said to them, "Today you'll be in paradise." That's how we treat people. What's the golden rule? Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. When the Lord said, when the Lord gave us the two greatest commandments, what were they? Love God, love your neighbor. And then when they asked, well, who's my neighbor? They picked two completely culturally different races, people who hated each other, right? The Jews and the Samaritans completely despised each other. These are your neighbors. Oh, that must have boiled people's blood. It must have drove them crazy. Well, you mean the person? No, these people aren't worth anything. That's the point. The point is we're all not worth anything until the Lord Jesus Christ does something with us. And even then, that value, that worth is still tied up in Him. Were it not for God, I'm still just a sinner saved by grace. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we dismiss, Father, this